Good afternoon. I will call the property committee to order. Will you please take the roll?
Roll call. Director Sheldon?
Here.
Director Meek?
Here.
Director Jung?
Present.
Director Yeo?
Here.
Director Green?
Here.
Director Nguyen? Director Amezcua?
Present.
Director Tran? Director Wigand?
Here.
Director Bilodeau?
Present.
Director Nguyen?
Here.
You do have a quorum of your committee.
Thank you. Do we have any items received too late to be agendized?
No, we do not.
Awesome. Thank you. And our next item, of course, is the visitor participation. Are there any members of the public who'd like to speak on an item that is not on the agenda for the consent? Or speak on the consent, a matter of public concern that's related to the district. Seeing that, I'll move on to the next item, which is our consent. And is there a motion on the consent?
So moved.
Second.
Okay.
I'll second that then. Yeah, we have a motion by Director Green, second by Sheldon. Please take the roll.
Roll call, Director Sheldon.
Yes.
Director Meeks.
Yes.
Director Jung.
Aye.
Director Yeo.
Thank you.
Director Green? Yes. Okay, that motion carries with 5 yes votes.
Thank you. Our next item is the matter for consideration and with the Orange County Transit Authority. Do we have a presentation on this?
We do. The committee may recall that staff gave a brief informational back in March at the property committee meeting. And at that meeting, we gave a brief informational item, but today we've invited OCTA today. Get a more detailed overview of the project. And so we'll start with that presentation. But following that, we do have a recommendation on the compensation offer that we received from OCTA for the TCEs. So I'm going to go ahead and hand it over to Janine Lee. She's the senior project manager at OCTA, and she'll give her a presentation.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Janine Lee. If you want to sit or you want to stand, whatever you prefer. You're welcome to sit.
You do.
Okay, thank you.
You do, right?
PowerPoint. So just there,
and then it'll come right up.
It's the floor is
yours. Great, thank you so much.
Okay.
Well, good afternoon.
Sorry, okay. Did escape on that? Go back to the Zoom function on the bottom. Now hit the green button at the bottom.
At the bottom.
Oh, right. Got it. Okay.
There you go.
Share it. And then share. Yeah. We'll share it.
At the bottom.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. There you go. I'll do it again.
Yep. No.
We'll show the wrong file.
we're okay. Okay. You're good to go.
Yeah. Great. Thank you so much. Okay, good afternoon. Again, my name is Jeannie Lee. I'm senior project manager from OCTA. Thank you for having us present and update the SR91 improvement project from State Route 57 to State Route 55. Before I get started with the main presentation, I'd like to acknowledge Orange County Water District team, especially John Kennedy and Chris Olson for their leadership, and then Bruce Dozier and Daniel Park for their great partnership and support throughout, and it's been great working with them, and we look forward to continuing that partnership. So with that, next slide, please. Okay, so State Route 91 Improvement Project, to be exact, west of the State Route 57 to east of State Route 55 project, is also known as Project I in OCTA's Measure M2 plan. The project provides operation improvements in 3 key segments. To the far right on this map, which is from 55 to Lakeview Avenue, is the first segment of the project, and it provides operation westbound operational improvement, as highlighted in green. Then between 57 and 55 interchanges, in the middle, segment 2 of the project provide eastbound improvements, as highlighted in orange. Then near the 57 interchange, to the far left, segment 3 of the project includes westbound operational improvements, as highlighted in blue. So Caltrans also have a multi-asset project that's funded by Senate Bill 1 within and adjacent to our project. So you will see a lot of construction activities in this corridor in the next few years. Next slide, please. So today we're going to focus on middle segment, which is segment two for this presentation. That will be more of your interest. And segment two provides improvements by adding the regular GP lane in eastbound direction between 57 and 55, which is highlighted in orange in the slide. With segment two improvements, both Kramer Boulevard and Glassell Street and Tustin Avenue bridge, overcrossing bridges, both will be replaced, complete replacement. And then each bridge will have two-phase construction, which means we're going to have some live traffic while the construction is going on. Because of the traffic demand, we couldn't close the bridges all completely. And then also the Santa Ana River Bridge, shown on the bottom right, the photo, needs to be widened in the eastbound side of 91 Freeway. Next slide. This one just shows the general schedule of the project. We were able to clear this project environmentally back in June 2020. It was quite challenging to do that in the middle of COVID, and we did it. And segment two from La Palma Avenue to 55 project, our design began back at that time, and we anticipate to complete the design fall or late this year, and then start the construction probably spring or fall, mid next year. So construction will take almost 4 years, and we anticipate to complete by mid-2030. Next slide, please.
People are going to be thrilled.
And then we have a 2028 Olympic game as well, right? We have a lot going on. And this slide, as I mentioned in slide three, Santa Ana River Bridge will be widened on the eastbound side of 91 Freeway. As a result, project needs a temporary construction easement, in short, TCE, as highlighted in green on this slide. And TCE is like borrowing or renting the area during construction, and we give it back once construction is complete. There are four areas we're seeking for TCE, and we will go in detail in each slide, following slide, but I just wanted to kind of give you an overview because this map kind of shows a really good overview of what we're seeking for. So first one is a sliver area at the eastbound Tustin off-ramp. That's to the upper left corner that you can see. And then the second area is on the westbound side of 91 Freeway, so to the rightmost. 91 kind of crosses diagonally. And then the third area on the east is on the eastbound side of Santa Ana River, the large area that you see next to orange, where it's highlighting the widening of the 91 Freeway over the river. And the fourth area is Tustin Avenue Bridge over the Santa Ana River, only in the half section of the area that's highlighted. And I'm going to kind of go over each area. Next slide, please. So this one, just to orient ourselves, there's a lot of maps and whatnot. So as you can see on the top, it shows 91 Freeway. To the left is heading to westbound, more LA County Beach. And then eastbound is heading to the right, to Riverside. And you can see Tustin Avenue Bridge. So north bearing is to more the upper part, the top part of the slide here. So as a result of eastbound widening of the 91 Freeway, eastbound Tustin Avenue off-ramp will be realigned. As a result, we need a sliver TCE from Orange County Water District for Tustin Avenue off-ramp realignment and construction. And primarily, that's needed for grading and fence installation. And then approximately, construction would take about 6 months in this area. And my apologies, we're in the middle of updating our schedule with some right-of-way delay that we're experiencing. Our team is working really hard. So what I'm presenting here will be pushed out by about 6 months. So meaning that approximately that 6 months will take in place beginning of next 2029 and to mid-2029 for this area. Then I'll update the PowerPoint, Daniel, and I will send it to you again.
Okay.
So just to make sure that you have the copy. And then next slide, please. Thank you. So for the widening of the eastbound side of the freeway, project needs TCE on the westbound side of the 91 to divert the water and then access to the construction staging area, which is just north of westbound 91 to the right corner. I don't know if you can see some vacant area. So that's the area that we're seeking TCE from flood control to use that for construction staging. So as a result, we need access to that, and to divert the water, we need a TCE in this area as well. So approximate construction duration is about 46 months, and that would be about mid-2026 to mid-2030, because we anticipate about 4 years of a construction.
Where are you diverting the water to?
Oh, so For the Santa Ana River, they will create like a dirt bed to divert the water for a contractor to access. So to make sure that it follows the right flow and everything.
It would still be in the river. It'll just be
Right.
channelized to certain sections while they were working parts of it. Yeah.
Yeah, pictures was wonderful. That water is shining. Okay, fine. I get it.
Thank you. And the next slide, please. So, and then also the project needs a TCE for eastbound widening construction. So, of course, we need the eastbound side of the 91 that's highlighted the large area. And that's for construction of the eastbound widening, and then as well as the staging and laydown construction access, as well as part of the water diversion of the river. And then this again will take about 46 months, and which is anticipated to begin around mid-2026 till mid-2030 is what's anticipated. And then on the same slide at the bottom in the Tustin Avenue, so this TCE is needed for the bat panel for bat mitigation under the Tustin Avenue Bridge during construction. That's to satisfy environmental requirement, which I'll go over a little bit more in a minute. And that's a requirement by California Department of Fish and Wildlife in Shore City, FW. And then, so approximate construction duration of this one is approximately 60 months. And the reason for that is what's required is about 6 months prior to construction, we need about 1 month to install those bat panel on the Tustin Avenue Bridge. And then we have to evict the bats from the existing Santa Ana River Bridge so that they will be all the pile driving, all the demolition, all the noise and construction exposure will be minimized. And that's the latest requirement by CDFW. So that will be about 6 months prior to the construction. It will take about a month. Then we will do a monthly monitor. Our CDFW approved biologist will be monitoring every month throughout the construction. And about 6 months, or it's actually the following fall season, that's when we can actually demo. Make sure that all the bats are on the new widened bridge in the Santa Ana River, and then they will be evicted from Tustin Avenue Bridge.
Bats are getting evicted.
I knew you were going to
Well,
please, man.
they'll put them over here during the construction, so
Yeah.
they're not affected by the work that's happening where they're currently at.
And then you just
And
bring
then
them
I guess,
back.
do you just let them go back to where they want to go when you're done?
So when we are done, what happened is once widening of the eastbound is done, then because what the way they evict a better term from
notice.
mitigate them, but it's better way of to mitigate them from eastbound side because there will be a lot of construction work in that area. What we will do is we put exclusionary like material on the existing crevices or their existing panels so that they will. Because we have to install the bat panel on the Tustin Avenue Bridge about 6 months before. Then what we do is once the bats are not there, they're not roosting anymore, we want to make sure that they're all closed. All the openings are closed on the existing bridge. So during construction, they could live in the Tustin Avenue. Once construction is done, we remove those exclusionary device from the Santa Ana Bridge because that's where they exist now, where they live, and then we close the Tustin Avenue bat panels that we install for the project, and we'll be removing those bat panels per City of Anaheim request. So yeah, that's what
They don't want
the bats. They don't want
the bats.
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah, so next slide basically just kind of talked about what I just explained, sort of, but based on the bat mitigation protection plan that was prepared by CDFW approved biologist, the recent bat survey that was performed back in 2021, that's the most recent one that was done as part of the project, we observe about 1,000, like about like 1,000 bats roosting at the Santa Ana River Bridge. There's a lot of bats. So to satisfy this environmental requirement by California Department of Fish and Wildlife, bats need to be mitigated somewhere. And then we are lucky enough to have a nearest bridge, which is Tustin Avenue Bridge, which they had a presence before and they're familiar with the area.
Oh.
And it's close enough. So that was most appropriate. And that's what CDFW approved for us to do. So it's, far away enough for noise, any kind of noise from the pile driving or demo, so forth. So that was most appropriate plan. And then as a result, we're installing about, for the bat panel mitigation wise, we're installing about 75 bat panels to accommodate all those bats, the Tustin Avenue Bridge during construction. And project will mitigate instead of evict bats from
Too bad.
Banana River Bridge. And then the bats will relocate to Tustin Avenue Bridge during construction. And as I mentioned, there will be regular monitoring of the bat housing. And then once the construction is done, then we will remove those exclusionary material from the Banana River Bridge so bats can go back. And then with the proper monitoring, there will be evicted from bats from and then remove the bat panels from Tustin Avenue Bridge. So that's what we'll be doing.
This is Director Meeks. Let me just say, I'm a fan of the bats. We want to keep the bats. They eat a lot of mosquitoes and a lot of bugs along the river. So I think we should have more bats.
We're trying to do our best to protect them.
You're finished.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Any questions from the committee? I have a couple. Okay, no questions. I have a couple of questions. I'll be quick with my questions. How many bats are there?
What we noticed based on the most recent observation, about 1,000 bats, roughly the bat mitigation plan states about like 800 to 1,000 bats.
Has there been a bat eviction relocation program before of this magnitude?
This is the most recent requirement, but we did, Caltrans did a widening on the westbound side. So we did some level of bat mitigation, but it may not be as robust as the current one.
Did bats go back?
Yes, yes.
They know to go back?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then they did a recent projects out in San Bernardino County. Like a lot of projects are being done in Southern California, and then all the recommendation that's being proposed has been proven.
And on the bridge that's crossing over the river, do you know offhand the estimated cost of that construction for just that segment of the project?
Oh, just the segment of that.
Just the cost of the bridge overcrossing.
Oh, bridge
of adding the lane to you're adding a lane on
Correct.
A bridge going over the river.
Correct.
What's
Correct.
The cost? And do you know the cost to add that lane?
I don't. To add the general purpose or a regular lane in the eastbound direction for segment two total is roughly about $200 million in construction. But specifically for the widening of the Santa Ana River, I don't have that with me at this moment, but I could get back to
add the lanes, $200 million.
Yeah.
Because we have a bridge we want to add a lane on maybe, so I just thought I'd ask.
Oh, I see.
But now I'm probably not going to add. $200 million?
But that also includes widening over the river. Right, and
right.
Doing all these.
Let's go over the river too.
Right, and then also, Daniel, I don't know if you can.
There you go, Natalie.
$200 million.
Tell me when to stop.
Right. Maybe one more. So here, if you can see, Kramer, as I mentioned, Kramer Boulevard, Glassell Street, uh-huh. as well as Tustin Avenue Bridge, that will be completely demoed and replaced with a brand new bridge also. And we have a lot of walls and structures, sound walls and so forth on this project. So that's inclusive of everything, not just widening over the river.
Wow.
What's
the total cost of what you just, of all this project you described?
The three segments of 91, it's about $790 million.
$790 million. And that one lane is $200 million of it to expand that one lane over the river? That one bridge, that one, to add that lane over on the bridge uh-huh. over the river is $200
million. So $790 million that I mentioned, Chair Sheldon, is actually total cost. That means also support costs right away, obtaining TCE and or whether there's a sliver fees that we may have. Mostly we have a TCE. However, that also is environmental clearance, the design, construction, right away, everything for all three segments.
How many miles of lanes are we adding with this project?
This lane is primarily between the 57 to 55 project. So it's about like 4 miles or so, just like adding one lane. So
like $200 million per mile. When you come down to it.
Right. And then the tricky part is that I know what you mean. And we typically use that method as well to figure out how many miles of cost us, bridge. But then we have two bridges that's complete replacement and also widening over the river. So that's not common of adding a lane. Also, sometimes we don't have to replace those bridges. So
in the day, it is what it is. because we want more travel lanes. So. Yeah, that's you were on OCTA. It doesn't seem after, like almost it's like
And then also it
four-fifths of a billion.
Right. And then recent escalation has been really anomaly for the past 2-3 years. Construction bid has been coming much higher than engineering estimate. So that's some challenges that we're encountering. And so engineers for this segment of the project has reflected those cost increase.
Can I ask my last question is here. If you're on the 91 going eastbound and there was right away between, say, Weir Canyon and Gypsy Canyon, hypothetically, pretty just dirt right away, what would it cost to add a lane to that?
I don't have an answer to this moment. It just depends on the ownership, whether it's a public or it's a private.
Let's say you guys know it's right away.
I would have to ask our right away specialist, if Daniela, if you would have an answer.
Yeah, that's a tricky question because, like Jean said, it so depends on the zoning, the
assume you it's zoned for it. You own it. It's zoned for it. You're the government.
$10 million for 1 mile.
Tell you that the offer that you have presented to the water district, it's 34 cents per square foot. That's what we presented based on an appraised value.
No. My question is, if you were to build a travel lane on an initial travel lane of asphalt, 12 feet wide, next to add one on the 91, what would that cost you to go a mile?
We don't have that information. We don't want to mislead them. Okay.
Could you let me know?
Yes.
I'd be interested. I just kind of want to compare. Just if when you know, assuming you've got right away, there's no topography, there's no grading. You just slap down some blue top, put in some markers, and I'm just wondering.
And that's like a public right away.
You own hypothetically, you own it.
And then from which lane?
Anywhere a mile. I picked Weir to Gypsum. I don't know. Could be too. I'm just curious on the, without all this other, just like, you know, what's it cost?
I don't want to give you a number. Then we
have respect that.
So
okay,
we can
I respect that. Thank you. Okay, good. Any other? Okay, I've asked my questions, committee. I think I took less than 5 minutes. Hopefully, any other questions of the committee?
Director Yeo.
Yes, of course, from Director Yeo.
Can you guys hear me? I was having problem with my audio. Yeah, I just want to thank Ms. Lee for her presentation. It's very, it's not long, but it's very thorough. I really appreciate it. I kind of remember your name. You worked on the West County project, right?
That's correct.
The big project, yeah, in Seal Beach. Yeah, OCTA is very fortunate to have a seasoned professional like you running this project, and we're fortunate to work with you too. Just want to thank you. Yeah, that's all. Thank you.
Nice.
I think we all share the sentiment of Director Yu. You did a great job, and we appreciate your thorough and concise.
Thank you.
All right. We have a motion action. Is this a closed session because it's a real estate negotiations or?
No. We received a compensation offer from OCTA, and there is an incentive payment tied to that compensation offer, and that incentive payment is that. It's they provide that incentive payment if we respond in a timely manner. So
I know
to bring that first.
With something we discussed in closed session because we're talking about. I mean, do we have time to do that?
The timing. I'm not sure. I mean, if we wanted to go into closed session, we could.
Well, this has got to go to the board anyways. So why don't we go to closed session in the board? I just would prefer to have that discussion there. Just as a matter, I think that's been our protocol if it's regarding money and. If it's regarding real estate, we can go to closed session, particularly if we're talking about dollars and cents.
Sure.
Is that okay with the committee? If it doesn't slow it down, it just takes it to the...
Yeah. Can we ask OCTA? Because you had said there is a deadline for the incentive payment, but that's a loose deadline,
right.
You said, okay.
Right. Yeah, because typically it's 60 days from the offer for the NIPA program, but that what OCTA board approved. But we understand working with a public agency, it does take time going through the approval process. So we will honor the incentive program.
Okay. My comment doesn't slow the process.
Sure.
We have to go to our next board meeting and that will continue. And we would just put it on the closed session also. That's all. And come back and pretty much tell you, yes, once we're done.
Right. This
August
6th. Okay, August
6th. Because it's
going to cover. What, 60? 1,000, and then the incentive is 12,000.
Oh, I didn't even. Okay, I didn't look
so,
at that.
So, all right, there. Why go into?
I should mention that
because I think it's been our protocol, and I would recommend that we follow that for real estate negotiations. Because it's just a matter; it becomes a matter of habit, and I don't see any harm in doing that. Maybe there's other comments that directors want to make regarding the compensation and or this.
That works.
I don't see a harm in it.
Right.
It's going to August 6th, no matter what.
Yeah. All right. So, any other questions? Any Other comments or concerns, thoughts? I think we're glad that we're expanding the travel lanes for us to hopefully drive a little faster and relieve congestion. So thank you for all that. And again, we echo Director Yeo's compliments.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for having us.
So the recommendation is that we go to closed session with this at the board meeting?
That's correct.
We can put it on consent for the item and discuss just the compensation in closed session.
Right.
So I would suggest we have a motion to put this on the consent item and then to have this financial discussion in closed session.
That works.
Are there any other closed session items you know, John, for the evening?
Yeah, there's one.
Okay, so what are we going to close session?
Nothing major. I'm not sure putting it on consent works.
I agree with that. Yeah, you need to. You wouldn't put on consent. You'd have a closed session.
I meant the item, but not the compensation. We'll put the whole thing closed session. I was trying to respect Director Green's, you know, comments on what have you. So I'm fine either way. Okay.
Put the whole thing in closed session.
That's great.
And we'll come out of closed session.
I'm one of five up here right now.
We're good.
Is there another comment?
We have seven of us. So there's only three directors that wouldn't know this item when we get to it.
So just to clarify, if it goes to closed session, the whole thing does, and we get it done in one motion, we don't have to come back to another board meeting? We don't slow the process?
Correct.
Correct.
Okay. You know, if it's a pleasure of the meeting, we can just approve it right here if we want to. I just thought it's a good habit to put financial matters related to real estate on closed session as a matter of practice. Yeah. But if it's the pleasure of the committee, I'm not one to stand in the way of the committee. So if anyone else would like to make a motion of what they feel, then I'm fine. And I'm just one of five. There's nine.
Yeah.
So
yeah, the board,
is
the
there
board
a motion that a member of the committee would like to make?
Jeremy's trying to say something.
Yeah, just say if you can do it either way. If you do it in closed session, you just report out what the board did. So either way.
Correct. That was my thought as well. We don't slow the time at all, but it's good to be in that habit.
You have to wait for board action anyhow, is what I was saying.
What is the pleasure of the committee? What is the pleasure of the committee? This really isn't worth all the time I spent on this comment. So if a committee would like to prove this right now, as is, that's great. Is there a motion as such?
Can you hear
me? Okay, Director Green has a motion to...
Director Yeo has a question.
Director Yeo, yes.
Oh, okay, yeah, sorry. I'm just fiddling with the microphone. Just keep having problem with it. Yeah, I think that, Daniel, can you confirm that this is... You know, this information has been vetted. It's a fair offer, you know, based on the, you know, similar TCEs that are out there for this project and in the general area. And, you know, Director Sheldon, with all respect, you know, I want to trust the staff is doing their job, doing their due diligence. And with the incentive provided, you know, the extra 20% to encourage us to act on it quickly and I want to support us moving forward with it without going into this closed session. It's okay. I don't think we need to renegotiate.
I wasn't suggesting to renegotiate, and I also trust our staff, but we also have verified anything in financial and closed session. That's all it was. So I'll move that we take, that we recommend, that we move the approval of the item. Director Green made a motion to approve the item. I will second it. Let's take the roll. Let's take the vote on that, please.
Roll call, Director Sheldon.
Yes.
Director Meeks.
Yes.
Director Jung.
Aye.
Director Yeo.
He said yes.
Director Green.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, that motion carries with five yes votes.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much for a great presentation.
Thank you.
Thanks. Yeah,
appreciate all the work you're doing to improve our congestion. Great. All right, let's get to our informational items.
Yes, we have Mr. David Wabuzewski, president of the Venture Lagoon, the aqua park that's utilized at Miralama Basin. And Mr. Wabuzewski has requested to give the committee a project or current operational update. And I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Wabuzewski.
Let me open up the item also and say I had... in the past, I think the 5 or 6 years that this has been going on, I've had an interest in when we had the Anaheim Coves. It wasn't my hearing, but in our Anaheim Coves, and Director Bilodeau and I negotiated the Anaheim Coves agreement with Mayor Kurt Pringle, the current mayor at the time. So we certainly have been involved in a lot of Anaheim activities Anaheim issues. And so I think we have a great tenant and a great use. And I had learned that, which has not been my practice, is that the Anaheim Building Department has not, I think, treated this tenant fairly. I have had a great experience with the Anaheim planning and building and city in my career. Jonathan Borrego from the city of Anaheim sat in dozens of our meetings in the past when we were doing things, and we worked wonderfully with Jonathan Borrego, who is now no longer with the city, the Parks and Rec individual. So I think we have a great relationship from the staff level. And so what I've heard and what I have seen is really something that's not been my experience with the city. So I just, that's why I asked Mr. Wobuzewski to be here to present just his trials and tribulations with the city as our tenant and his inability to operate at times. Thank you very much. I want to give that introduction.
Let me just give my piece of it too, because I did talk to the planning director this morning and tried to get understand the city's position on this. So happy to hear from the tenant and may have some recommendations going forward on how to resolve this. So we will.
That's great. I spoke with the director of the Anaheim Planning Department about a month ago and hope to try to get some peace and get some things solved. So I'm glad that we were able to get, I think you're probably a lot more effective than I am. I had worked with her when she was in Fullerton for many years, so I knew her personally. But okay, let's get off with this presentation and see how we can kind of identify some concerns and find a plan of action to get everything addressed.
You okay?
Who do you have with you, Mr. Webb?
This is Ken Parsons, this is my architect.
Okay.
Probably about the last couple months in the end of this, I've kind of dropped communication with the city myself because I don't want any animosity going through things because...
And I have a question for you. What other people do you have on your team that are certified and professional?
He's an architect. We have a civil engineer, a structural engineer, an electrical engineer, and a plumbing engineer.
Okay. Thank you.
And Ken's kind of been the lead on this whole process through the whole thing. And since I'm very terrible in public speaking, I kind of wrote something up instead of...
As you heard... being concise and less is more, and yeah, really concise.
Let me say a word or two before you read that.
Yeah,
I just wanted to also, first of all, thank you very much for giving us the platform to speak with you on this. And I'm glad that both you, Mr. Sheldon, and Director Meeks have been able to talk to the city. Just as a quick update, I've been in pretty close contact with the city, more the building department side than anything else, and we've kind of been pushing as hard as we could to get this to a point of approval. And just before this meeting, I had a chance to speak with the new building official, Scott Beery, who's just been elevated to that position. He's been really helpful for us to this point. I think he's the one person at City Hall that I've been able to have a direct communication line with. He's been great at getting back to us. And even just this morning, he had said that he was thinking that this is really right up to the point of being finished now, being approved. There's a few minor little things that still need to be handled in the field, which we're dealing with. But Scott, at least, is hopeful that once we get these last two or three items checked off, they'll be able to finish, you know, give the final inspection and then let Mr. Wobuzewski open officially and do what he's got to do. So that's why I put that out there. So that's positive coming from the city. So it's not all negative. There is some positive stuff, and it's coming from the big guy at the building department, which I think is really important. So
Natalie said she has an update too.
Yes, she does. So we'll wait to hear that too. Okay. I'm sorry, Dave. Go ahead.
Give us a. Sounds like we may have already started to solve the problem.
I'm really happy with it because I've been here. We are at the end of July, and I'm basically still closed. You know, tens of thousands of people a month use the park. This is actually our fifth year in business, and it's been super, going great. There's basically two people that have continued to block me being able to move forward. I don't know if I should mention their name, but they're absolutely, let's leave their names out of it, yeah. So that's what I was, the history of it, beginning in 2019, the Orange County Water District and myself went into a CUP process with the city of Anaheim. In 2021, the Adventure Lagoon was granted approval with the for the conditional use permit by the Planning Commission. As there is no actual buildings on the business, because Water District doesn't allow buildings, permanent any permanent structures or anything like that, And it is a temporary seasonal operation. The conditions for the CUP are relatively minor. Within a few months, there was only four items left to be addressed on the CUP. And leave a name out. I get engaged in an argument with one of the staff members
in person there
at the planning department. And from there, I followed up with the senior staff in the Orange County Water District, and the project was turned over to Thomas Graham. And within 4 days, the item had been resolved, and the Adventure Lagoon obtained business license. Orange County Health Department granted the park to an authorization for it to open. Subsequently, it did in July 2021 on the 16th of July. In the 2023 off season, we've been running in our CUP. It allows us to run on a generator because we're a seasonal, 4 month operation. In 2023, we went into the city and trying to obtain a permit for electricity. And progress was made. We had the pedestal installed, and we went through two inspections with the city, and they went fine. They were all approved. And then once that person, prior 2 years, knew that I was actually still involved and actually opened the water park, because we escalated above her head. When I came back in there at the blank check counter, she verbally, attacked me. And then at that time, she said she was basically going to remove and revoke everything that I had to be able to operate. And again, and despite concerns over her coworkers that were with her, and so that was that. So at that point, I kind of decided to stay away from the city for a while. The Adventure Lagoon gave up on trying to get power through the city. I actually installed solar panels, which we continued to run the entire 2024 season with the solar panels that we installed. In the fall of 2024, that person kind of came back after me again. And we went into some meetings with Ken and this and that, and we started a new permit process, thinking that it was going to be a short little process and would be completed promptly. In contrast, there's been multiple obvious delay tactics and very unprofessional, derogatory comments from city staff towards myself.
Can I ask a question? When last fall in 2024, when you started a permit process, what was that permit for? Your CUP was still active, right?
Yes. And okay, it still is today.
Okay. And so what was the 2024 permit process for?
I think, I don't know what Becky really pulled. What that person pulled, but she says she was pulling my permit. And at that time, I'm believing it was basically the occupancy permit. That's my understanding. Do you have any?
I think, Director, that the permit that we originally went into get approval on was an electrical permit. And then that has turned into a much larger scope of work. At the beginning of the process, I think city staff was looking at this as a permanent installation, like you would have if you were going to construct buildings, right? And so it took us a while to work with them before they began to realize that it is, in fact, a temporary facility, seasonal, and that we don't have any permanent structure. So that changed their tone. They changed their tone quite a bit at that point, and I think became a bit more willing to work with us through the process. I think part of the issue we've run into is that it is an unorthodox project. So it took a little bit of time to kind of get everybody on the same page. But the electrical permit, I believe, was the first permit that was being required by the city in and above, over and above anything with the CUP. But since then, it's turned into other things.
I can add to that. I was aware there's a
a coach or you use for your restrooms or for your snack shop place, and it's older and it needed to have a stamp on it from the state that it was been like a birth certificate that it had been certified 40 years ago, and you've been using it and it was in great shape and perfectly fine. And so I think you had to go and chase down the Housing and Community Development Agency at the state of California to get them to revalidate that that was
legitimate.
For those sort of things that had never been ever asked for before was now asked for.
And there's been a number of things like that, Mr. Sheldon, where we've presented what they've wanted and they've come back with new stuff, like second, third, fourth round plan check comments, new stuff that wasn't on the first round or even the second round. So, you know, it's not uncommon. Is it right? No, but we deal with it. But unfortunately, what's now done is it's pushed us into basically almost August on this when, you know, by all intents and purposes, we should have had this thing wrapped up and completed, you know, in April or May.
If you have more, Mr. Webb, just...
Yeah, just another delay by staff. On the our original plans from September, we went and the city wanted us to remove the solar, which we did. And then we went back to running the facility on a generator, which is in my CUP. I'm allowed to. And after 7 months of the about four or five plan checks with the generator approved by staff, then all of a sudden another person in there came back and said, the generator, we're not going to let you use the generator. You need to get real power. And I went, well, it's in my CUP that I can use a generator. And then he goes, well, if it's in your CUP, we'll have to reconsider that. So an hour later, I came back to the city of Anaheim, showed him in my CUP that a generator is authorized to use. And he goes, I don't care what your CUP says, you're getting permanent power. And then that delayed us approximately an additional 30 days.
So there's just been a process of that kind of thing.
So everything taken care of now?
No. Not exactly. We're down to the last couple punch list items, and it's mostly having to do with structural support of the restroom trailer and structural support of some of the features near the water.
And then so the restroom trailer is just a trailer that was converted to a restroom, or was a...
It was built as a restroom.
It was a restroom, like a construction type, or even a concert type trailer.
Exactly.
So it's been built for that and design. And what is something happened to that's not structurally sound? Now, why would you need to do a lot of extra work on it?
It's the supports that hold the trailer up from down below. Our structural engineer didn't quite. He got the front of the trailer, but he didn't get the back because we have actually holding tanks in the back. That, you know, it's actually a
It's a tank and then pump out sewage system.
So. And he thought the front looked exactly like the back. The front does have all the supports, but since the tanks are in the back, we used a cribbing method to support the trailer. And it's on tires. It's on it's just like a regular trailer. And it was just to keep it
pulling. Does it even need that support?
Technically, no.
So what can we do to go forward to get you open?
I'm just asking for help from the district again, just like we did before. It's basically the same people. Another delay tactic. Just to show the cities, I'll just say it. I went in there when I was putting in the plans for the electrical. I was standing there and I said, is there anything that I'm going to need beyond this? A woman sitting two desks back was overhearing it. And she goes, the next thing they're going to ask for is the plans from the health department, the stamp plans. And I said, I already have a health permit. It's current. So why would I need the plans for the plan check, for the next plan check? And then she goes, I'm just telling you what they're going to ask for. So in other words, it's known that we're having struggles. So then of course, 2 weeks later, sure enough, they asked for that, which they knew the delay because the city the health department, you have to go through they don't have the plans anymore. You have to go through the
They've got to get them from their archives and all that kind of stuff. It's all microfiche and it takes a while.
So that was 2 more weeks. And then, let's see. Yeah, and then I'll just cut to the chase here. We went to, then I called for our electrical inspection, the trench that we dug up. The inspector came out, 20 minutes, he approved for the meter to be put in, and everything was fine. And then I went, called for the final inspection. The meter was supposed to be installed by the 16th of July. And then I called for a final inspection on the 17th because we would be completely done. And then on the 17th, the inspector came back and he said, no name intended. He has revoked the approval that you gave 2 days prior. And now, and then he went through the park and he gave us an additional 8 items. And we still, to this day, we don't have a meter, even though the inspector said, you will have a meter installed by tomorrow or the next day. And today,
that was last week. Yeah, that was last week.
Yeah, that was on the 17th. And then another big one that we did, that Ken was very involved in, we, on the 11th of June, the plans were approved and stamped. And Ken had asked for, on a daily basis, emailed and called Scott Berry to say, have we got the plans approved? You know, we're into June already. We got the plans approved. And they kept saying, you know, there was actually nothing from the city. And then finally, on the 24th, I believe.
Yes.
The plans were approved, stamped on the 11th. On the 24th of June.
2 weeks later.
Yeah. 2 weeks later, he just gets an email saying approved, nothing more. So there was another 2 weeks in June, which is my season. I open in May. And we've already lost another 2 weeks just with the plans sitting on someone's desk that were approved. So obviously, I mean, it's just, there's a really, somebody's very angry against, you know, wanting to not put me out of business. And I'll say another thing that, again, we'll leave names out of it. But I went in to put the plans into, again, this is just hearsay because it was me. When I went to give the plans for the electrical, which they would not accept, one of the staff members goes, that's a really cool logo because I have my baseball cap with my Adventure Lagoon logo, and they go, and then he said, it's a really cool logo. That looks like a logo of Planet Hollywood. You know, that business that doesn't exist anymore. And then he started laughing. And I just went, are you kidding me? I mean,
so yeah, there's quite a bit of that kind of stuff going on. And, you know, one of my things is to cut through that and get to people who can make decisions, which I think we've gotten that now finally. So at this point, we're always in this same spot with the city. It's like, okay, we have a few more items to do. Once we're done with those, we should be approved. He should get his final, inspection sign off, and we do it. And then they'll come out, oh, well, actually, now we need you to do X, Y, and Z more. So it's just been this constant slow trickle of things. And, you know, I've been in this business a long time, 41 years, and I've seen a lot of this. And sometimes it takes a little bit of a political push. And that's, I think, where we're getting to that point if we're not already there.
That's where I have let in for the last couple of months. Obviously, I have an emotional side to this, plus I'm going out of, you know, it's just...
It's pushing you to the walls, basically, what it's doing. It's not right.
Thank you for the presentation. Are there any comments? I guess I'll call upon Natalie that maybe first you'd mentioned that you'd had some good information for us. Director Meeks.
I did speak with the planning director this morning, and what she has told me is, as it stands right now, I understand that there is a punch list that everyone agrees to and can get done and resolve this. I did not go into years of history as our tenant did. But it is a very unique situation. You know, it's a unique use. And so that has caused the staff to probably give not, you know, clear information all the time on the first time. But Scott Berry, she said, has stepped in as the building official who has the authority to, you know, make decisions on unique uses and tried to move the project forward. So, you know, and according to the planning director, there has been work done that wasn't per plan once the plan even got approved. So then that requires changes to plans. There's a wood structure in the water that wasn't part of a plan, but nobody's going to climb on it or supposed to be on it. So is that something that falls under the building code or not? That one kind of, to me, that sounded like, is that a concern for the water district? Is that a liability out there if there's something that shouldn't? I didn't anticipate a wood structure out there. I expected inflatable things. So that was something that caught my ear. The restroom facility was, I mean, the tenant called it cribbing. She called it pallets that it's sitting on top of without an engineered foundation. And yes, it's a temporary trailer, but you still need to make sure that it's earthquake safe and all those things. So anyways, my recommendation would be for water district, somebody from the water district staff to meet with the tenant and the city building official and walk the site, agree where there's an extra set of ears there, what needs to be done, where the issues are, and make sure that as the water district, we also know what's happening on our property. One of our staff is there to understand what's going on.
Natalie, would there be any assurance that if they do this walkthrough, everything seems to be in order, that the project can go forward without any more issues coming up? I mean,
the descriptions that the tenant has provided regarding some animosity with the staff and things like that, I mean, that is completely unacceptable if that's what's happening. And, you know, I did make a note of one name, but if he would like to privately give me other names, I mean, those are the types of things that need to be addressed by the director to the staff. We cannot treat anybody that way. You know, yes, we have to enforce the rules. We have to make things safe. But actually the planning director thought that the property, that the property was open while they worked through all this. So that I don't think that she realized it was actually holding up opening. So yes, I it would absolutely be in the city's interest to help a business open and be open and make it safe.
Can you help with that process, or is it just OCWD?
No, I mean, I'm happy to help with the process. I am in no way going to ask the building official to, you know, override things he sees as a safety issue, but
sure.
Certainly can help make sure that the right people are talking to each other.
Okay, thank you.
And if I may add a word or two, I think at the moment it's really on us to finish those punch list items, which we're in contact with the structural engineer, getting that handled, you know, top priority. And, you know, our position is that we obviously value our partnership with the city of Anaheim. And, you know, we're not here to, you know, badmouth the city. We're just explaining some of the reasons why we're still in this position. But we definitely look forward to working positively with the city to get this resolved, hopefully within this week, this coming up week. So, Director Meeks, I really appreciate your efforts in doing what you've done. I think it's very helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, I think it'd be good. And so I don't know how long it will take you. You said like in the next week to get the punch list items done. Yeah, let's somebody else, that's a third ear, be part of that final inspection, walkthrough, whatever. And I know that Scott Beery will make himself available to make sure that gets done. You know, it has been elevated to his position now. And so, yeah, if you get the punch list done and you are ready for a final inspection, let's get it done and try to get you open.
Sounds good. Scott Berry has been to the facility about 2 weeks ago, and he commented on quite a few things that we needed for ADA that have changed over the years. And we have completely installed everything that they asked for in that meeting. And we have put them on the plans, and everything's been completed there. Scott has, like Ken said, Scott's been very good overall that trying to help us out.
I've worked with Scott Berry before, and he goes back to the old reign when we were good, right?
Director Meeks, just a question for you, comment. I think I don't want to call it a structure, but I think that item that you mentioned in the water, I believe it's a big bucket. And if you wouldn't mind personally participating, we want to see make sure the bucket dumps water down. If you could come help us make sure it's working and we can dunk water. You
want to
do that for us?
As long as you're the one standing under it, Steve.
I saw that. I think I saw that on CBS News when the CBS News reporter went out. Or
she's going to be the one pulling the cord.
Yeah, right. So. You can pull a cord on me and I'll be underneath. But the water is 78 degrees.
It is a dump bucket, and it is an actual fiberglass structure. It's a manufactured structure from a builder. I did not build it. It's on the plans.
Yeah.
And it's, another thing that they want us to do, I'll just say here, like on the dump bucket, it's in 2 feet of water. They want us to dig up the footings to show them the footings are there. But if you dig up the footings underwater, now you really have no support for the feature anymore because the outside of the dirt has been removed. I mean, we came up with an idea of having a pole. You go with the like this and go to where you're hitting concrete, 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 and then you hit sand. Okay, there's our footing. And then you go down like this. We're coming up with creative ideas how to do it.
Yeah. The unfortunate thing is that this has come up at this stage. It would have been a lot easier 3 months ago when the water was low.
Or when they, like, the district drained.
They drained it.
We drain it two times a year now. For the, to get the percolation. We do it after my season and right before my season. And
so the next time is not going to be until November, right?
October, November-ish.
Okay. So we can't wait for that.
Yeah.
Okay. And I would imagine it's difficult, if not impossible, to lower that water level at this stage. Okay.
Something I would never ask the district.
I'm just throwing that there to see if it's possible, and it's not. So that's fine.
And things like that, I've always been willing to do anything. I mean, in the fact that if it came to it, I'll remove the dump bucket. I don't want to hold my season up
because of the dump bucket.
Yeah, that's right. Not what I mean. If that's
it, may require you to not use that dump bucket until the footings can be. Because I mean, I can see that as a safety issue. You're going to dump it on people's heads, so you're going to have all these kids standing under it. And if the footing's not secure and that water is tilting it and putting pressure on it,
Completely understand.
I mean, I would like the city to know that that is safe before we put a bunch of kids under it.
And that's a really good point, because it's not difficult to create a buoy line around that thing and keep people away from it, until the rest of this season.
And then next year, hopefully we will be able to certify the footings underneath and you can use it next year. But, it's those types of things that we need to make sure we're protecting ourselves as the water district. It's our property, exactly, as the city and you as the tenant.
100% in agreement. You said, I not knowing what happened in September when we went into this, we thought it would be a short, easy get through, and it's just not.
Like a lot of things, they see it, they open it up, and the next thing we're 7 months down the road.
We'll try to get you checked off, hopefully next week. So get that punch list done. And I will ask the planning department to make it a priority to get the inspection out as soon as you're ready.
I appreciate that, Director Meeks.
Thank you, Director.
So, John, we can go by. If someone could buy on Monday, so possible.
Well, you went
to the city,
or just coordinate as soon as possible.
Sure.
And I did hear Director Meeks say that the planning director thought that you were open. I'll just throw that out there, Mr. Roberts. You don't need to respond to that.
We are
open for the we're not open to the general
public. I thought I just heard the director say that they thought you were open to the general public, so I'm just going to leave it like that. Okay, thank you. So there's no action here, but I appreciate the conversation, and I'm sure our tenant appreciates the conversation. And definitely thank you, Director Meeks, for contacting the planning director. That's really what the help that was needed, and bring this to the attention. Are there any other comments or suggestions, or should we move on to move on? Yes, Director Green.
When will you finish with the punch list, do you think? Because it would seem if you could make those arrangements now and have everybody out on the site, then that would speed things up.
The only thing
on
the
punch list. Or address things.
That I think that is outstanding the dump bucket in the water, some posts that are in the water, and then underneath the restroom trailer, the structural engineer was unaware of the, and it's 2x4s like this, 2x4s like this, a cribbing that goes up to support the frame of the.
And so the engineer may well recommend that we do something a little different there. And I don't think that there's a long lead time to get that done. I mean, you're talking like he says, do it this way, then by the end of that day, we're done with it.
Yes, yes.
So that could happen Monday. I don't know that Monday is going to be the day that everything is completely wrapped up, but I'm thinking
for me, if we get
Tuesday, Wednesday,
Ernest to get that done, we can have it done by, I can have it done by Monday. That
if Ernest gets us, it might behoove you to talk to Daniel and Chris and get that all set up, and then they can talk to Natalie and you can talk to the planner and get everybody out and take care of it.
That's fine. Good point.
But if you have everybody out there at the same time in the same place, everything's done, then it would seem to me that would speed things up and facilitate.
We think that would be the day that it all gets signed off.
Well, then move that arrangement and set.
Thank you. Good point. Thank you.
Sorry.
Thank you. Yeah, I think it was well intended. Okay, great. I think we've addressed this item. I appreciate your presentation. And we're going to move on to the next item on our agenda.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Our next item of presentation, our staff.
International brief update.
Okay, yes, please.
It's a brief update on the Imperial Highway property. So we finally got the contract signed with Dudek, Traffic Engineering Services. So they have started the traffic studies and the plans for the access routes from Imperial Highway to the district's property. So I don't know what the exact turnaround for that is. I suspect they did say approximately a month. So once we hear back, we will report that. And that is my update on Imperial property.
What's next?
And the last informational is Kevin O'Toole is not here. This is for the in-place remediation for the Prado-led remediation project. Kevin did provide a brief update. Staff recently submitted a draft of the initial study, the mitigated negative declaration as required by CEQA, and the remedial action plan to DTSC for comments. Once everything's adequately resolved, it is anticipated that the documents will then be circulated for public review later in the year. And that was Kevin's update for the remediation project.
Okay. Any questions? All right, then I'll recommend that we have the OCTA matter be put on our consent for the next meeting for speedy approval. And are there any director comments or reports to give?
I have a comment, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I was going to ask if at the next meeting, Daniel can bring forth an update on the single-family home we own on Mariloma.
Yes.
I know we have some challenges associated with the city on that. And
yes,
once again, we're going to call on Director Meeks to probably help us out.
Not sure what you're going to do with that place, but I am happy to help you figure that out.
Great. And General Manager comments, reports?
Nothing here.
And so I do have a comment just to make is that Daniel survived his first meeting. There you go. All right. Thank you. And we're adjourned.
Thank you. Guys have a good weekend.